Welcome to the third episode of Share with the European Union, the series whereby the European Union explains every Friday how it is supporting gender equality and women's empowerment in South Sudan. Last week, we discussed the obstacles women and girls face in education. Today, we are going to discuss the situation of gender inequality in the health sector in South Sudan. The situation of healthcare in South Sudan is extremely dire due to the many years of conflict, food insecurity, displacement, and climatic shocks. Humanitarian assistance is essential to most of the population, with access to the health system remain very limited. Now, for women, the situation is even worse. Gender inequality and gender-based violence are widespread, perpetuated by the cultural norms and exacerbated by the conflict. As a result, South Sudan has the worst highest maternal death rates, with an estimated 789 deaths per 100,000 live births. To discuss this issue, I'm joined in the studio by Aris Van Tenomt, Program Manager at the European Union Delegation in South Sudan. Welcome to iRadio.
Yeah, good morning and thank you very much for having us. So I'm Alice Van Tournout and I work for the European Union.
I'm also having Doreen Drani, the Gender and Social Inclusion Specialist at the Health Support Fund.
Thank you, moderator, and good morning, our dear listeners. My name is Doreen Drani. I'm the Gender Equality and Social Inclusion Specialist with Helpful Fund South Sudan.
Thank you. I'm also joined in the studio by the third guest at my left-hand side, Yena Bena, the Gender and Social Inclusion Focal Point at Health Link South Sudan. Good morning and welcome to iRadio Studio.
Thank you. Good morning. Yeah, my name is Yena Bena Pitea. I work for Health Link as a GSU focal person. Thank you.
Yeah, let's begin our conversation straight away with Aris. You are the EU's program manager for the EU-supported health projects in South Sudan. So could you tell us how the EU is contributing to the health system and more particularly to the health support for women in South Sudan?
Yeah, so the EU is funding globally Gavi, the Global Fund, WHO, but also COVID-19 vaccination. But here in South Sudan particularly, the EU delegation to South Sudan is funding the Health Pool Fund together with other donors. And really, like, the Health Pool Fund aims to improve access to quality healthcare services across previously 8 and now 7 out of the 10 states in South Sudan. And particularly, it supports delivery of essential healthcare with a special focus on maternal, neonatal, and child health, immunization, family planning, JSE, which would also include GBV. And this is like a very essential program in a country like South Sudan, where, as you mentioned earlier, has one of the worst health indicator in the world, which would also include the maternal mortality ratio. Mm-hmm. So this program is really important for the health of to improve health of women and to enable them to have access to quality healthcare.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll come back to you shortly. Let's go to Doreen. You are the Gender and Social Inclusion Specialist at the Health Support Fund. Could you tell us more about Health Support Fund and how it is supporting gender equality in healthcare? Let's talk about our perspective here in South Sudan.
Thank you so much. Helpful Fund South Sudan program is a 5-year multi-donor program that supported the delivery of South Sudan government basic health service and nutrition across the 8 states. We are implementing through the implementing partners. And the program aim is to improve the health and well-being of the target population through the coverage, access, utilization of quality health service care for the specific focus to improve sexual and reproductive health. The program impact is to improve health and nutrition status for the target population with the focus to reproductive health services. Mm-hmm. Helpful Fund program is funded by a group of donors. We have the EU, the FCDO, USAID, Sweden, Canada, and Gavi. Within the Helpful Fund program, we have the gender equality and social inclusion component, which aim to improve and ensure transformational impact on the poor and the marginalized group. When we talk about the marginalized group, we are referring to the women, the girls, persons with disability, people living with mental and neurological substance use conditions.
So these are all what you are supporting within the component?
Yes, mm-hmm. within the component of gender equality and social inclusion. Mm-hmm. And how Helpful Funds South Sudan support gender equality at the organizational level, Helpful Funds South Sudan ensure equal opportunity is given to both male and women to apply for positions and also get employed in our organization. At our implementing partners level, we ensure we offer equal opportunity for both male and women to work in this program. And also at the facility level, we ensure that incentive healthcare workers are both male and women of different health cadres who are working at different health facilities like the hospital, PSCC, PSUs. So we promote gender equality through training our partners also in gender equality and gender mainstreaming trainings. Mm-hmm. And also at the community level, in each supported health facility, we have the facility health management committee, whereby initially they were male-dominated, but HPF, through the implementing partner, made it mandatory to have representation of women and also ensure women take leadership role in the management of the facility health committees. So if the chairperson is a male, then the deputy should be a female. Or the chairperson is a female, deputy is a male. So that is one way of promoting gender equality.
Why is it important having maybe the chairperson is a male and then deputy is a female?
Yes, it is very important because we know all the health issues or health concerns are affecting women directly. So if we put women in the leadership position, they will have the power of making decisions upon all those issues which are affecting them. When issues are affecting male, they affect the women directly. Issues affecting the children, they affect the women directly. Mm-hmm. So it is important to put the women to hold a leadership position whereby they can be able to table out the health issues that are affecting them, discuss it, and follow up with actions.
Thank you so much, Doreen, for that elaboration. Let me go to Yeno. You are the Gender and Social Inclusion Focal Point at HealthRink South Sudan. Now, that's an implementing partner of HealthPool Fund. How does HealthRink work, and especially when it comes to health care for women?
Yeah, well, HealthRink works in collaboration with the State Minister of Health, County Health Department, and healthcare workers, and community to address curative and preventive health care services for women, provision of maternal health care services such as focus on antenatal care, family planning and immunization against tetanus, and skill also delivery services, postnatal care, and also to ensure that women are provided quality care during these services. Mm-hmm. And also women privacy and rights are respected when handling them at our health facilities supported by HPF. On gender representative, in health facility, more female than male in key health facility leadership positions. For example, the in charges, they are all females, most of them are females, and also the head departmental unit. And at the community level also, we have the Boma health workers, they are all majority are females than male. The Boma health workers also they conduct treatment for children below 5 years for malaria, diarrhea, and pneumonia, as well as home or house-to-house family sessions on family planning, child health, and nutrition, as well as GBV.
Okay, let me take you a little bit back. You know, you said you are working closely with the county and then state health departments. Can we know which states and then which area of South Sudan are you operating currently in?
Operating in Juba County as a whole, and we are working with collaboration with the State Minister of Health, Central Equatoria State, and in Juba County.
Now, that was a brief highlight about what you are doing, the Health Support Fund, the EU, and the Health Sharing South Sudan. Let's move and talk a little bit about remarriage and cultural norms. What is one of the issues or gender inequality is often perpetrated by our cultural norms, such as remarriages. In South Sudan, the trend is very presented, with almost half of girls being married by the age of 18, and with one in three girls being pregnant between the age of 15 and 19. And this is where the maternal mortality ratio in South Sudan is the highest. Now, Doreen, how do you explain South Sudan is holding this very record, and how is Health Support Fund tackling this form so that it may end in the country?
Okay, thank you so much, moderator. Indeed, it's a sad record. At national level, HPF work with different partners and stakeholders, the Ministry of Health, the Directorate of Reproductive Health, the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, UNFPA, and other partners, to support the existing advocacy initiative to address this kind of issues, and also develop policies or strategies or plan to be able to end early marriage or early pregnancy in South Sudan. For example, the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare has developed a strategy, which is the ending child marriage strategy. Mm-hmm. So they're implementing this strategy across the state, across all South Sudan. So HPF support the strategy to be implemented so that we can be able to end this early child
how
marriage.
How does this strategy work?
The strategy is to see how we can be able to take actions on people or perpetrators of early marriages or early pregnancy. Those perpetrators who marry underage, those girls of below the age of 18, they should be able to be punished for the act they are doing. And also at HPF level, in the supported health facilities, what HPF is doing is we have the basic emergency obstetric and neonatal care services. We have the comprehensive emergency obstetric and neonatal care services for the women, including the pregnant adolescents. So if the pregnant adolescents come to HPF supported health facilities, they can be able to be offered these services to ensure quality healthcare services for all the women in South Sudan. And also we have the women and girl friendly spaces at our supported health facility. So there we have health talks, health education on family planning, health education on reproductive health, on GBV. So all these women or the adolescents, if they access our healthcare services, they'll be able to get information on all these areas. And also at the community level, we work through the Boma Health Initiative. We have the Boma Health Workers who goes from house to house to do awareness session on family planning, and also refer the adolescent pregnant to the healthcare facility to receive antenatal care services, to also receive information on family planning, and encouraging them to come and deliver at the health facilities.
Thank you so much for that explanation. And you know, you have been in the field, as you explained earlier, that you are working in most of the counties here in Central Equatoria. So can you confirm this trend with examples from the ground and tell us how you see the situation of evolving over time?
Yes, teenager pregnancy is in existence. The dictionary has information system does not capture data on teenagers' pregnancy. However, we have seen many pregnancy below 18 years of age turning up in big numbers for antenatal care clinics as well as facility deliveries. From April this year to September, we have seen 22% of new users of family planning are teenagers.
Okay, when you say 22% for ordinary person, what do you mean?
Yeah, we mean that these are the new users, the new comers for family planning, the teenagers mm-hmm. who are
okay,
coming.
Okay, do you have a specific number that can help the ordinary person understand the figure?
Well,
or is it like if there are 100 girls, at least 22 mm-hmm. of them uses family planning? Is that what you wanted to tell us?
Yeah.
All right. Let's find out from the EU perspective. We have just heard from the Health Support Fund and then from the Health Sharing South Sudan, the situation of early pregnancy or early marriage in the country. What's EU's stance with regard to this early marriage, and how do you tackle this in your projects here in South Sudan?
Yeah, so really early marriage put young girls' life and future at risk. So this issue is not only an issue that South Sudan faces, it's a global issue. And like a number is quite stunning is that in the least developed countries, 36% of girls are married before the age of 18 and 10% before the age of 15, which is like there are huge percentages. And like for the girls who are married so early, like their future become really at risk. So early marriage limits girls' ability to access education and hence to become more independent and therefore also to like to dream of a better future for themselves but also for their children. But also, and as my two colleagues have mentioned, early marriage means also early pregnancy, which also means health risk for those girls, because an adolescent girl body is not really ready to actually carry a child. So like from the program that the EU is funding that's tackling like this issue, so there is the Health Pool Fund, and so through the Boma Health Worker, the program delivers messages regarding risk around early pregnancy and the value of family planning. And also in case girls, like as Doreen has mentioned, if girls adolescent become pregnant, then also like the health worker would really encourage them to come to health facility to deliver their baby there, assisted by a skilled midwife. But also the EU is funding the program Girls Education South Sudan, which aims really at increasing the number of girls accessing education by really like through the cash transfer. The program hopes really to encourage parents to send their girls to school instead of marrying their daughter. So in that matter, JESS is like a really, really important program as well to fight early marriages.
Mm-hmm. Somebody in South Sudan may wanted to know, how is it in Europe? So can you share with us, do you have such cases maybe existing in any of the European countries, early marriage and then child marriage?
No, it's illegal.
It is illegal.
It's illegal. So
in Europe, for you to get married, you have to be how many
18.
Years?
18 or above.
18
course,
above.
But yeah, under you would be, you would go to court.
All right. Thank you so much. In case if you have just joined us, we are talking about gender disparities in the health sector. And then this is the third episode of the Share with the European Union. And my guest is Aris from EU. And then I'm having Doreen from Health Support Fund, and then Yeno from Health Ring South Sudan. And they are telling us what they are doing here in South Sudan to ensure that we have gender equality in the health sector in South Sudan. Now, let's talk a little bit about gender-based violence. Previously, in your introductory remarks, you talked about gender-based violence, but I want us to talk deeper into this scenario. As you might know that in March this year, the UN Commission on Human Rights actually released a report, and then they said that sexual and gender-based violence was alarming in South Sudan. Now, this let me take it to Yenov. Do you see many victims of gender-based violence coming to your health centers? How is the situation like these days, and how is the health ring responding to these cases or this situation?
HPF supported health facilities have registered a remarkable number of GBV cases accessing services at health facility. From April to September, 188 people presented with GBV and were treated in HPF supported health facility. 3 patients were below 5 years of age, while 97 above 5. Health Link, with the support from HPF, is addressing this through training health workers on GBV prevention and response, provision of dignity kits for GBV survivors, working with women and girls, friendly space to enlighten women on GBV, referral of psychosocial and legal support, community advocacy, awareness and sensitization on GBV and prevention, family health sessions through Boma health workers on GBV. strategies for prevention, training on GBV and gender equality, awareness on GBV prevention in the community, male involvement in GBV prevention, engagement of key community leaders in the fights of GBV, available services for the survivor medical intervention as HPF, referral of psychological and legal support. The consequence of GBV, unwanted and early pregnancy, STI including HIV/AIDS, the injuries sustained by the women, stigma, suicidal thoughts, disability, deaths.
Okay, help my listeners understand this. You actually said you registered many cases between April to September this year. Now, when you said many cases were reported to your health facilities, can we know which kind of forms of this gender-based violence are you talking about?
Yeah, there are different forms. There are physical violence, whereby a man can beat his wife. We have also psychological support, whereby the woman will be tortured at home or maybe mistreated at home there. Then she will be mentally disturbed, emotionally, and also there will be sexually violence. That's the form of abuse. But for this 3% where children, these are under the rape case.
Rape cases.
Yeah.
So can we know which part of South Sudan or just in your operation?
These are in my area, in Juba County.
In Juba County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But different facilities.
Okay, let's go to Aris. Now the EU is a global leader in the fight against gender-based violence. How do you support victims of GBV here in South Sudan?
Thank you very much for highlighting the role of the EU in fighting GBV, but also really to... Like the EU is strongly condemning it, and again, this is way too common in South Sudan, with perpetrators rarely being judged for their action. So overall, the Health Pool Fund that the EU is funding supports provision of sexual gender-based violence health services at the facility level, including provision of identifications, referrals, treatments. So awareness of community around GBV is extremely important to reduce stigma. So the Health Pool Fund, through its health worker, Boma health worker, but also community leaders, ensure awareness is done at all levels. So at health facility level, but also at community level. So women who have been victims of GBV needs to find safe space to speak, and this is why Health Pool Fund encourages to do through the creation of women and girls friendly space at health facility level. So this is where women and girls could go also to speak about it. Also, an important point to raise is the absolute need for the health staff to also be sensitized in order to better support victims of GBV, and that's why the Health Pool Fund is regularly, like monthly, training them. But also, apart from the Health Pool Fund, the EU is also funding programs which empower women. So, for instance, they would ensure that women are getting better at, improve their entrepreneurial skills, for instance, but also to ensure that those women to bring those cases to court and really like to empower also the survivor of gender-based violence.
Before we go for a short break, let's hear from Doreen from Health Support Fund. You know, the UN report talks about harsh existence for women and girls, and these are very clear and bold words. How are our women surviving episode of gender-based violence? Do you see this numerous attack on women having consequences on the society as a whole?
Yes, the way our women are surviving this episode of gender-based violence is through giving awareness on GBV prevention and response, so that they know where the available GBV services are. So through our awareness session in the community, we ensure that we tell them about the services we offer at the facility, and we encourage them to access healthcare services within 72 hours. So that when they come at our supported health facilities, they train healthcare workers on clinical management of rape or comprehensive GBV care, will be able to offer them the prevention of pregnancy through giving them the emergency contraceptive pill, mm-hmm. whereby they can be prevented from the pregnancy, and also PEP, post-exposure flaxing, for preventing HIV. And also they'll be able to give them drugs for treating STI or STDs. And then they will also be able to be linked or refer to other psychological support or psychological social support and legal services to other partners, because we know other partners offer legal services, offer psychological support. So at the facility, we have the referral pathway whereby we know who is offering what, so that the survivor can be linked to these services. And we also ensure at the facility level, we strengthen the women and girls friendly spaces whereby the women can come and also meet some of the survivors, say experience, and then link to maybe other partners who offer them livelihood services whereby they can be able to participate, and with the time they will forget some of the episode of gender-based violence. And we also encourage them to overcome whatever they have done through all these different aspects of support, because we know this thing has really serious consequences and on the survivor and also on the society at large. In case of any sexual and gender-based violence, let's give example of rape, there could be a result of unwanted pregnancy or early pregnancy as a consequence on the survivor. And then on the society, there will be increased early pregnancy or early marriages as a result of rape. And then also the survivors may result to the use of drugs. If I can categorize the consequence in three areas, like we have physical consequence, we have social consequence, we have psychological consequence. So through sexual and gender-based violence, the survivor can be able to contract STI or HIV. And this will lead to increased HIV in the society. And also, it can lead to death. You may find that the survivor, as a result of maybe the violence, may decide to think about committing suicide, or even the perpetrator may decide to look for the survivor so that they can kill, so that they clear evidence. So all these things are happening in the society, and it is really having negative impact. So psychologically, they will have depression or sometimes develop post-traumatic stress disorder. So if this is not handled well through counseling, it will keep on recurring and disturbing this survivor, and in the community will have many people with different mental conditions. And also socially, you may find that there will be rejection from the society or family to this survivor because of this violence. Let's take case of rape. So you may find that the survivor will fear to participate in the community life. And also if the survivor is maybe a married one, it can lead to family breakage, whereby even the partner can be able to divorce. So all these have negative impact in our society.
Thank you, Doreen, for that explanation. Let's go for a break. When we be back, we are going to talk about family planning and awareness, and also future priorities.